And next Sunday will be the last 2 weeks from today Advent begins. Can you believe it? We're that close to Christmas, and that frightens some of you. And where's Ruth done? Ruth, are you here? How long have you had all your Christmas shopping done? About 2 weeks. There you go. There you go. I just want to make some of you feel worse this morning. It's not even December, huh? They're already wrapped and put away, right? They're not just purchased. They're not just ordered. They're wrapped and stored, just waiting for a tree to put them under. See? Overachievers. We have overachievers. I'm the guy at Walmart on Christmas Eve. That'll be good. She'll appreciate that. We're talking about self-imposed limits that prevent us from experiencing the blessings of God in our life. The Bible says that He's given us everything we need to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, a blessed life. And He wants to bless us. That's what we've been saying for these weeks. But you understand that we're the ones that limit the blessing of God by choices, by wrong choices, by allowing sin and compromise in our life, by the things that, well, we've talked about for the past 2 weeks. And so let me kind of review a bit and then share a couple of thoughts with you today. So turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. As you're doing that, I think I see Richard Zimmerman back there in the back. And bless your heart, it's good to see you out and about once again. He had to spend a few weeks in the hospital after back surgery, and so thank the Lord that he's doing well and able to be here. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He's given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so just to kind of remind you then the key points in that passage that we've been focusing on these last couple of weeks. First of all, everything we need to live a life pleasing to God is available to us. So it's not, we can't say, well, boy, God didn't provide that for me. It's there. We're the ones that limit His blessing. We limit our own access to the things of God by our choices sometimes. But everything we need to live this life, this abundant, blessed life that's pleasing to God, has been made available to us. Then secondly, we've been invited to participate in that life, in the very life and nature of God. Then number three, we've got a responsibility. So Peter says, make every effort to participate and grow in our walk with God. We read the scripture this morning in 1 Peter 2 where he said, like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Think about that, to grow up in your salvation. We tell people, well, hey, you got saved and that's all there is to it, right? Call on the name of the Lord, just give your heart to Jesus, and that's all there is to it. And that's why we got a whole lot of babies dropped off at the door that don't ever grow up. They're still laying there, you know, at 72 with a pacifier and because they didn't grow up, because he says, grow up in your salvation. He's talking about maturity. He's talking about growing in increasing measure. He's talking about making every effort to participate in this life that He's given to us. So He expects that we're going to grow. That means we're removing those things that limit the flow of God's blessing. We're removing those things that limit the growth, the spiritual growth that should be taking place in our life. And then we understand that very point. Number four, our walk with God and our spiritual growth are to be in increasing measure, he says in verse 8. So something, we're adding to something, and it's a process, and we're continuing to grow. We don't ever stop growing in our walk with the Lord. And then finally, he says, if we continue to grow in Christ, our life and our service will be both effective and productive. It makes a difference for us and for everyone around us. We're having an effect, and something good is being produced. Blessing is being produced in our lives. So we made the point over those, this being the third sermon here, that we serve a God who is unlimited. Ephesians 3 says He's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. So He's not looking to hurt you. He's not looking to withhold blessing from His children. Everything we need to live this godly life is available to us. Psalms 84 verse 11 says, "No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly." It doesn't say He doesn't withhold good things from it. It says, for those who walk uprightly, no good thing does He withhold from those who've made this choice to walk with God in His grace to please Him. So the problem is with us. We limit the blessings of God in our life. So we're talking about exceeding those self-imposed limits. So what do we do to remove the obstacles that are blocking His blessing and the flow of His blessing? Well, 2 weeks ago I told you that we need to make every effort to get the sin out of our life. We've come to Christ and we repent of our sins and we turn from them, but then we kind of go back. We start picking up things that we dropped off. I'm laying that aside, and then the next thing you know, well, that won't hurt, will it? And we allow compromise. We allow things back in our life. And so we need to make every effort to get the sin out of our life. And I told you that same Sunday that we need to make our obedience immediate. And we need to stop hesitating and thinking about it, looking for a better offer. You know, well, I'm waiting to see if there's a better offer, if there's a better God out there to offer me, you know, less trouble or whatever. It doesn't work that way. We need to decide now that we're going to serve God, we're going to live for Jesus and obey His Word. And then last Sunday I told you that we limit the flow of God's blessings in our life when we refuse to forgive other people. Jesus said that as we forgive others, then the Father is going to forgive us. But if we don't forgive others their trespasses against us, He said, Jesus said, the Father in heaven won't forgive your trespasses. I want my sins forgiven, and so I've got to be willing to forgive others. The flow of God, remember we said flow follows forgiveness. The flow of God's forgiveness, the flow of His blessing follows forgiveness as we are forgiven and as we forgive others. And then I told you that inconsistency limits the blessing of God in our lives. And we have to be consistent and faithful in how we live and how we obey the Lord. If you remember the passage from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, where he talked about the land that had been prepared to receive the rain. The land had been farmed, it had been prepared, and the land had been sown. The rain was going to come, and he says that land is going to produce a crop. It's going to be productive and fruitful. But the land that hasn't been farmed, the land that hasn't been prepared, it grows thorns and thistles, he says, because it hasn't been prepared for the blessing, the rain that's going to come. Live a consistent, faithful life. If we don't, then we've got thorns and thistles out there. We haven't been consistent, and I gave you the analogy of my yard and our flower beds. We have to be consistent with that, pulling up the weeds, preparing that, because that ground that's left untended and unfarmed or unprepared grows all kinds of alien things that I don't even want to go to the back part of my yard. I don't even know what that is out there. So I just leave it. So live a faithful, consistent life. Don't let sin or compromise rob you of the blessings of God. So let me show you a couple of other things here, ways that we limit the blessings of God in our life. I referred to part of this passage last week, but I want us to look a little closer at 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. He said, "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." And then Peter quotes from Psalm 34. "For whoever would love life and see good days," whoever would live this blessed life we're talking about, who would receive the blessing of God, "so whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Peter stopped right there in his quote from the Psalm. It actually goes on then to say, not only is the face of the Lord against those who do evil, but He's going to wipe their memory from the face of the earth. So Peter just didn't want to shake people up. Sometimes we just withhold the rest of the story because, you know, that'll just freak somebody out. So, but that's what the rest of the passage says. Now, look at what Peter's telling us about the connection between our relationships and the blessing of God. First of all, he's telling us that how we treat one another affects the blessing of God in our lives. You either limit or increase the blessing of God based on how we treat one another. So this passage is talking about our attitude towards each other. It's talking about our actions and our reactions to others. So last week we talked about the importance of forgiving others for their sins against us. If we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. But it's more than just forgiving someone over some offense. It's how we treat others all the time. It's our demeanor. It's how we speak to others. It's how we relate and how we deal with others. If we're not treating one another as Scripture tells us, then we're limiting the blessings of God. And he says this is how we're to treat one another: with sympathy, with compassion, with kindness, humbly, not proud or arrogant, not thinking we're better than everybody else, but this is the way we approach it. And if we don't, then we're limiting the blessing of God. In fact, in the verse just or the verses just prior to what we just read, the first part of chapter 3, Peter talks about, in fact, he's going through, this is how we're to treat our masters, and this is how we treat slaves, this is how we treat our employers, this is how we treat employees, and then he talks about wives and husbands. Wives are supposed to treat their husbands with respect. He says husbands are supposed to respect their wives and treat them graciously. And then he says, if you don't, well, he says it this way. This is the way. Treat them with respect and with grace and understanding so that nothing will hinder your prayers. How you treat your wife, how you treat your husband is going to hinder your prayer. If you don't treat them appropriately, if you don't treat them with kindness and respect, your prayers are hindered. So part of your problem, if God's not answering your prayers, guys, you might ought to look at how you've been treating your wife. If you've been ignoring her. Yeah. Come on. You got to, of course, I started to say, you spend every weekend hunting. See, I pick on stuff I don't do. But it could be that your wife wishes you'd hunt just a little more. Deer season's over already. And there's something else that'll take you out of the house for a couple of days. Well, anyway. So look and see how you've been treating your spouse, because it may have something to do with limiting the blessing of God in your life. Peter tells us to live in harmony with one another. Notice he didn't say to live in unison, but to live in harmony. So unison's hitting the same note, but harmony means we're going to hit some different notes. There's diversity in this, but they're going to blend together so it makes a beautiful sound. It's going to work together. And so he's telling us, blend your hearts together, blend your calling and your gifts together so we can serve together and complement one another. We can function as the body of Christ. It'll be something, we read it this morning, so that through the good life and the life of the church, those who don't know Christ, he says, even if among the pagans, is the way Peter says it, even among the world, they'll see your good deeds and they'll say, you know, that sounds really good. That's a good sound. There's harmony in that. There's beauty in that, and they'll be drawn to that. So we harmonize our differences so we can accomplish God's purposes. We're to be sympathetic, understanding. We put ourselves in the other person's place, in their shoes. We know, well, you know, this is what they're dealing with, so I'm going to be merciful and humble. We're to love one another, he says, like brothers and like sisters. We're to love each other like family, committed to each other regardless of what happens, because we're family. You can't stop being family, right? You can say, well, I just disown you as my brother or sister. I never want to talk to you again. I never want to see you again. You can go to before a judge and have your name changed and divorce yourself from your mom and dad. I quit you, or whatever, however it works. We're just done with it. But you know what? A doc and a good medical whatever scientist and a DNA check is going to prove that, no, those are your siblings and that's your biological parents right there. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, uh-huh. Oh, no, he did. Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's who you are. Right? You can't. So you can say that's how it is, but it's just not. There's a whole lot of things that I've, in my humble opinion, without climbing up on the limb and then sawing it off. But there's a lot of things you can suddenly say you are that you're just not, okay? You can think that on through if you want to, but I just still think you are what the way you started. And so anyway, but you can't stop being brother or sister. It doesn't matter what you did. Well, you know, I gotta do this because he's my brother. You know, he's my sister. He's my brother. Whatever. Anyway. So we're to be compassionate. I know, I need to be back on the medication. We're to be compassionate and humble, not thinking better of ourselves. This is how we're to act toward others. And the result is we inherit the blessing of God, he says. So the passage speaks not only of our actions, but our reactions. And you know, I've been reading the Bible a long time. Peter tells us not to repay evil with evil or insult with insult. And I always read that thinking about, yeah, what he's saying is for the church, when people outside the blessing of God, when outside the family of God, when sinners, in other words, when they treat you with the evil intent or insult you, well, then don't repay them with evil or insult. But you know what? In the context of that, he's talking about the church. He's saying, for all of you in the church, live in harmony with one another and be sympathetic as brothers and be compassionate. And then he says, and don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult, because I think Peter has been around long enough to know that sometimes in our family and sometimes in the family of God, people do things that aren't very kind and they insult us and they wound us and hurt us. And he says, and so don't repay them with evil or insult either. Even in the church, keep loving one another and be harmonious. And to the world, when they treat you that way, then certainly, he says, Jesus said to turn the other cheek and to do good to those that despitefully use us and all those things. And so Peter's telling us this is how we're going to live our lives. We're not going to wound when we've been wounded. We're not going to return evil for evil or insult for insult. Instead, we're going to bless others because we've been blessed. We're going to be merciful to others because we've been shown mercy. We're to bless others even when they wrong us or hurt us, because he says we're called to be a blessing. And that when we act in love towards others, even if they've wronged us, when we bless others, when we repay evil or insult with a blessing, we're placing ourselves in a position where God can then bless us. How we treat others determines the flow of God's blessing in our lives. So Peter then quotes from Psalm 34, tells us to turn from evil and do good if we want to enjoy life and see good days. We've already talked about turning from evil. Get the sin out of your life. Stop living like you did before you met Jesus. Instead of sinning, Peter said, turn from evil and do good. Do what's right. Live for God and serve Him. Get along with others. Be compassionate and kind. Pursue peace in your relationships. And then look specifically at verse 10. And this is what I want to focus on for the rest of the message this morning. Verse 10, he said, whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. Whoever would love life and see good days, that's talking about whoever wants to enjoy the blessings of God. Whoever wants to experience that abundant life, then he said, then here's part of what you have to do. You have to keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. To enjoy the blessings of God, we need to guard our mouth and guard our words. It has something to do with what we say. Now, you know, if you've been here for a while, that I'm not they used to use this kind of disparaging term, but I'm not a name it and claim it kind of preacher. I've never tried to tell you that you can have whatever you say or claim. That if you just speak it, you can call those things that are not as though they are, so you can speak a new Mercedes in your driveway or whatever. That's crazy. So the Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, for the past two Sundays, I've been trying to make the opposite point, that it's not just about what you say, it's how you live and how you obey that determines the blessings of God in your life. The problem is a whole lot of people think they can just, to put it in these terms, they can just talk the talk without walking the walk and think it all ought to work, you know? So I carry a big old Bible, and I got a church bulletin from last Sunday in it, and I tell people this is where I go to church and all that kind of stuff, but I don't live it. Well, then that's a bit of a problem, you know. Trust me, you know, I had a... I shouldn't even tell that story. Anyway, well, you know, I had a... she said she was an entertainer. I had a dancer come to my office one Sunday morning years ago, And she wasn't a ballet dancer. But she came to my office and was needing help and needing prayer had messed up her life and all this stuff. And she asked me, she said, "Do you know?" And she gave me the name of somebody that at one time had attended our church. And I said, "Yeah, I know him." And she said, "He was one of my customers." And I said, "Well, boy, that's NG." What am I supposed to say? Well, you know, how am I supposed to respond to that personally? So I said, "Well, it's not like he's an elder or a Sunday school teacher or anything in the church." Yeah, we've got a lot of people that come that still have a lot of issues and a lot of things to deal with. And I said, "Yeah, you know, I didn't know him well, and that's interesting that you would tell me that." And so let's talk about you. Why are you here? And she explained then why she was here and what she needed from God. It's not just about what you say. It's not just about what she was going to say that day. It's about how you choose to live your life. You can say that you're a Christian. You can say that you've got all this. But understand what I'm telling you. It's how you live your life. This is not a book of magical formulas or incantations, all right? So it's not like, "Well, I'll look it up. I need financial blessing, and so I'm going to look it up and I'm going to quote these things, and then God's going to bring that to me." That's not how this works. You can do that all day long, but you can claim every blessing in the book. You can confess every promise of God, but if you do it and you harbor sin in your heart, if you're doing evil, if you're living in sin, if you refuse to forgive others, if you're mistreating others, if you're gossiping about others, if you're not living in obedience to God, those blessings aren't going to come. Shout it from the rooftop, do whatever you want to do, but if you harbor sin in your heart, unrepentant, undealt with sin, and you're not going to serve God, not going to live for Him, you're just going to claim something that's in here, folks, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The eyes of the Lord are upon those who walk uprightly. The eyes of the Lord, the ears of the Lord are attending to the cry of those who call out to Him, who are saying, "Lord, I want to walk in obedience to You." Not to those who are perfect. Don't, because some of you go, "Well, then there's no point in me praying because I'm not getting it all right." I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying when you say, "I know, I'm living in sin, but forget about that, God. I just want all this stuff." It just doesn't work that way. It's not just about saying the right thing. It's about doing the right thing. It's about living for God. And He says, if you're living in disobedience and evil, the face of the Lord against you. So with that being said, there's something else I want you to see in the passage. So Peter says we have to keep our tongue from evil and our lips from deceitful speech. He's saying we're to speak the truth and not lies. That we're not to deceive others or defraud others with our words. We're to guard our mouth, guard our words. But I think there's another lesson here, and this is what I want you to see this morning about our words and about limiting the blessing of God with our words. We know that our words reflect what's in our heart, right? Our words reflect what's in our heart. And what I'm telling you this morning is it's time to get our words and our heart, our spirit, our will, our emotions, our thoughts and our actions in agreement with God's Word and His will for our life. This is what a totally surrendered life should look like. That what I think and what I believe and what I know, the Word of God, and what I'm saying and what I'm doing, that all of that begins to line up. That for me to say I'm a child of God, I need to live like a child of God. To say I'm the redeemed of the Lord, then I ought to make some effort at living like I'm the redeemed of the Lord. To say that God has put His Spirit, His Holy Spirit within me, then I ought to make some effort at making sure that the choices I make are consistent with a holy, living child of God. We know what God says, we believe what God says, we need to do what God says, and we need to say what God says. It needs to be in our mouth and in our heart, in our mind and in our spirit. The psalmist said, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, what I feed on, what's in my mind and spirit, let those things be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we need to get our heart and our mind and our mouth on the same page as God's Word. That we're living and talking and believing and thinking and meditating on what is pleasing to God. I'm telling you this morning, it's time for us to get it together. To not just talk the talk, but to walk the walk. And one of the things I remember Gail Irwin telling me about a preacher friend of his that contacted him and he said, "Hey, I preached a sermon Sunday called 10 Things I'm Tired Of in the Church." And Gail said, I thought, oh boy, here we go. Another one of these where the pastor gets up and rails at everybody and, you know, you need to straighten up and you need to do this. And he said, and then he began to tell me those 10 things. And so he said, I'm tired of telling you to pray when I don't pray. I'm tired of telling you to read the Bible when I don't read the Bible. I'm tired of telling you to win souls when I'm not winning souls. And he went down the list. And Gail said, I thought, well, finally, a truthful pastor. And so I want you to hear what I'm saying this morning. I'm not telling you need to get it together. I'm telling us we need to get it together. That we need to do more than talk the talk. We need to walk the walk. We need to ask ourselves, is my heart and my mind and my mouth, is all of that in alignment with God's Word? Am I speaking the truth about what God says about me and about my circumstances? Am I living in faith? Am I speaking in faith? If we just walk around saying, well, God's not going to help somebody like me and I'm no use to God, or if we walk around just complaining about, I don't know why God blessed that guy, why he doesn't bless me, and I don't, and we gossip and backbite and saying all this stuff, we turn out like the older brother in the prodigal son story. We're standing outside somewhere saying, well, I don't know, God blessed all those people, but I don't know why. I don't know why they're getting that. I love people that say, I wouldn't go to that church. You know, they don't live, they're not very faithful. You know, they're doing stuff, well, they're a step above you. You don't go anywhere, you know. So we just kind of wander around pointing fingers at everybody else and stuff. Listen, get the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart in agreement with God's Word. Guard your heart and guard your mind and guard your mouth, and let's do what God has called us to do. Let's start living what He's called us to live. Well, remember what the Lord said to Joshua. Joshua was the second in command of Moses. He was one of those young men that was in Egypt and is led out of Egypt in the Exodus. And Joshua and Caleb are the two oldest guys left out of everybody that left Egypt. A whole generation died, and now Joshua and Caleb are advancing in years. Moses dies, and Joshua is now left in command of the people. And he's getting ready to take them across the Jordan River and into the land that we call Israel, to bring them into the promised land. Before God takes them across the Jordan, God says to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And look what he says. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Then you'll be blessed. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Look at that again. Don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so you can be careful to do everything written in it. All of a sudden, we've got those things that I've been talking about. It's a book, after all. We got to read it. We have to know what it says. We have to study it. He says, meditate on it. So we put it, not only are we reading it, we're letting it take up residence in our heart. We're thinking about it. We're studying it. We're reflecting on it. We're applying it. We're saying, okay, that's what the Bible says. How does that get plugged in to my life? Let it take up residence in your mind and in your spirit. And then let it begin to influence how you talk and how you live. So we're going to let this be in our mouth. He says, don't let it depart from your mouth. In other words, the way you talk, what you say, how you live, all of it is tied up in this, in being obedient to the Word of God. Learn what He requires of you, right? Learn what He... When Peter quoted from Psalm 34, he said, whoever would love life and see good days must... And then he said these things, turn from evil and do what's good, pursue and seek after peace, and all those things. Learn what's required of you. Learn what's required of you. It's the key to success. It's the key to blessing. So God says to Joshua, learn what's required of you. Get hold of the Word. Get hold of that Word that Moses had. Don't turn from the right or the left of it. Don't compromise it. Put it in your mind. Meditate on it. Put it in your mouth. Begin to speak it. Talk about it. Embrace it and live it, because that's the route to blessing. Learn what's required of you. If you took a job tomorrow, it's your first day, right? And they hired you to be a sales representative for, where? Who sells something? Quick Trip. I don't know. Well, they don't sell anything. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Learn what's required of you. And so you go in about 10:30 in the morning, because you're not a I'm not a morning person, right? So you go in and everybody else is working 7 to 5, and you go in about 10:30, and the guy says, "Where you been all day?" "What do you mean?" "Well, didn't you know the day around here starts at 7 o'clock? "Whoa, really? I had no idea. I didn't know. Hey, nobody told me. Well, it was in the manual. You didn't read the manual?" "No, I didn't read the manual." "Well, you need to learn what's required of you, because, you know, if you come in at 10:30 tomorrow, don't even bother to come in, all right? The breakfast pizza's already gone from Quick Trip at 10:30, so don't even bother. Learn what's required of you and then do it." And so, hey, okay, tomorrow I'm doing better. But then by the afternoon you're thinking, "You know what? What? We knock off about 2:30 or 3, I'm getting a little tired." And so you just disappear, you know. The boss comes in and says, "Hey, I noticed you haven't been making any of your sales calls." "What? You mean I'm supposed to call people?" "Yeah, I hired you to be a salesman. There's calls you make. You call people." "I didn't know what was required of me." "Now, is that going to be important that I do that?" "Yeah, in order to get your paycheck, you're going to need to do what I tell you to do." "Who knew? Who knew? James, who knew that a fireman would have to put out fires? You mean I got to work 24 hours in a row? Are you kidding? They didn't mention that in the manual. I got to carry a gun? Who knew?" So learn what's required of you and then do that. And if you do it, the blessing of God's going to be there. If you don't, the blessing's not there. The blessing comes from being obedient. The blessing comes from knowing what's required of you and doing it. And folks, I'm telling you, in your life, if you'll learn what's required of you, if you'll learn what God calls us to do, learn what's required of you. It's to do righteous and to show mercy. It's not to protest. Whatever. You can do whatever you want to do with Starbucks and their cup and all that stuff. But find out what's required of you and get busy doing that. Get busy doing that. We got... You know what I'm talking about, right? We got people want to get on every march in every parade and demand stuff out of, you know, on every bandwagon, and the basics of serving God aren't there, you know? Oh, come on. Well, help me. I gotta go on here. What I'm telling you this morning is it's time for a change in our life. It's time that we bring what we say and how we live, how we walk, how we talk, how we treat people, all of that. All of it into agreement with the Word of God. It will make a difference in how we approach life if we hide God's Word in our heart, get it in our mind and in our spirit, and begin to live in obedience to that Word and talk that Word, live that out, obey God, say what God says, and instead of giving into fear, do what God has told us to do. It's going to make a difference. God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be afraid. Do what I tell you to do. Apparently, I always hate it when God says, don't be afraid, because that means something scary is about to happen. You know? Be strong and courageous, because that means something's going to happen that's going to make me feel weak and frightened. But God told Joshua, here's what you do. Get God's Word into your heart and into your thoughts and meditate on them. And then start speaking them. Don't let them depart from your mouth. If anybody says, well, what are we supposed to do? Let the Word of God come out of your mouth. Well, this is what He says. When we find ourselves in these kind of circumstances, this is what God said to do. This is how He said we were supposed to live. Yeah, but you don't understand. It's really difficult. I know, but I'm not going to let God's Word depart from my mouth. And He said, if I turn away from those things, there'll be blessing. But if I don't, there's going to be some judgment that comes. I'm going to have God's Word in my mind and heart, and it's going to come out of my mouth, and it's going to affect the way I live my life. Are you? Turn to somebody next to you and tell them, He's talking to you. Would you do that? It lets you off the hook that way. Because that's what people say, boy, I wish my kids had been there to hear that. Well, just don't worry about them, and you try to hear what I'm saying to you this morning. So God told Joshua to get that Word into his heart. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Keep obeying what God said and believe it. So Joshua crosses the Jordan. They get into the land of Israel, and the first obstacle they face is the walled city of Jericho, the oldest city in the world, apparently. It's been there forever. Joshua goes up on a mountain to look down on it and says, what in the world have I gotten myself into? How in the world are we supposed to get inside that place? And he begins to think about it a little bit. An angel shows up, and Joshua says, are you for us or against us? And the angel said, neither one. I'm on the Lord's side. That's a whole other sermon, folks. You need to stop asking, is God on my side? And you need to just be asking, am I on God's side? Am I am I in this thing? Because we're counting on the fact that he's on your side because somebody said he would be. Oprah said he would be. But listen, you need to find out, am I doing what God is doing? Am I being obedient to him? That's where this is. This sermon's going to last forever. So here we go. So Joshua's staring at the city, wondering, and God gives him this bizarre plan. God says, here's what I want you to do. You're not going to have to fight. I want you to go down there, take all the people, take the ark, the priest, and I want you to march around the city one time a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, I want you to take the ark and all the people and blow the shofar on the seventh time around and shout because I'm going to give you the city. And so Joshua thinks about that a little bit. And if I was Joshua, which thank God I'm not, but if I was, I'd still be thinking, I don't know about this. That sounds a little crazy to me. And here I am. Moses is dead. Man, and Moses, you know, great leader. Now I'm the leader of all these people. All the old folks are dead. There's nobody to ask. There's nobody to ask. What would you do? What in your experience, what have you done? Because Joshua and Caleb are the oldest guys in the bunch. I remember the first Sunday sitting on the platform after I came back from Mexico and Brother McQueen had died. And I remember sitting up there thinking, what am I going to do now? Because Brother McQueen's gone to heaven. He was the guy I was going to talk to. He was the guy I was going to say, what do you think I ought to do about this? And now he went off and went to heaven. Gave up on me and quit. And now I'm up here by myself trying to figure this out. That's a bad place to be. That's what Joshua's thinking. Moses went up on a mountain and died somewhere. And now I got to do this. And I'm not sure what to do. What if I've got untested troops? These people, they're nomads. We've walked through the wilderness. We don't know how to fight, how to take a walled city. What if you flop on your... I'm the leader of the people. And what if I just flop on my first day out? What if the walls don't come down? Maybe I need to just run back across the Jordan, head back to wherever Ephraim and Manasseh were or something, and just say, let's give it up. That's what I'd be thinking, because I'm just not very brave like that. But you know what happened? I think Joshua said, but what was it God said? He said not to be afraid, to be strong and courageous. And what was it he said about the words of Moses? He said, get them in your mouth and don't let them depart from your mouth. And it seems like I've stood up here and worried so much that I've let those words begin to depart from my mouth, but I'm going to put them back in there now. And God tells me we're supposed to take the city, and boy, it is bizarre. It's a strange way to do it, but that's what he said. And he said not to turn to the right or to the left from it, but to take every word that God says and every word that he gave Moses and to begin to believe it, to be careful to obey everything. And if I do that, he said he would bless me and make me successful. And instead of running back across the Jordan, Joshua starts saying, I'm going to let the word of God stay in my mind and in my heart and in my mouth, and it's not going to depart from me. And he said to be strong and courageous and not be terrified, and he would bless me wherever I go. So he's going to bless me down there on the plain of Jericho. He's going to do what he said he was going to do. I'm going to obey God, and he's going to give me success in the city. And I'm speaking as plainly and clearly as I know how to this morning when I say this to somebody. It's time for us to stop playing church and start obeying God. And the stakes are higher than they've ever been, and we're running out of time, and it's time for us to obey God and submit our life to Him and get God's Word in our heart and in our spirit and begin to meditate on that Word and live according to that Word and let that Word get in your mouth and in your mind and in your spirit and begin to live it out. And if we do that, then He's going to bless what our hands are doing. Obey God. Do everything He's told you to do, and you'll exceed the limits that we've placed in our own lives by our own choices. Obey God and declare His Word for your life. It's time for us, with our heart and life surrendered to God and obeying His Word, to start walking around the walls of that city, that obstacle in your life. Start declaring what God has said about the righteous, that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And so, Lord, if Your eyes are on me, I'm going to say what You said. I'm going to declare Your Word and its truth. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to start putting it into effect in my life, and we're going to see what happens. Lord, I've repented of my sins, and by Your grace and with Your help, I'm doing my best to obey Your Word. And You said Your eyes are upon me, Not because I've got it all together and I'm doing it right, but you've declared me to be righteous by my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. And with all my heart and with all my strength, I turn away from sin and from compromise and evil, and I'm going to walk in holiness and in obedience to God. I'm going to do what you've called me to do, and I'm going to walk around the walls of that city, that obstacle in my life, until I see those walls come down. I'm walking around those walls because you told me not to be afraid, but to do what you told me to do, and you would prosper me, and I would have success. I'm declaring what your word said. You said that you had given me a spirit, not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, so I'm not going to be afraid. I'm declaring what your word says. You said that you would keep my mind in perfect peace if I would keep my heart and mind stayed upon you, and so I claim that peace. You said that if I would believe upon you, that me and my household were going to be saved, and I claim it for my spouse, and I claim it for my children, and I claim it for my grandchildren, and that word won't depart from my mind or my heart or out of my mouth until I see it happen. You said that by your stripes I'm healed, and so I claim that today in my mind, in my body, in my spirit, and I'm going to put that word in my mouth. You said that if I would obey you, that you could give me the out of the riches of glory, you would give me what I need, that if I brought my tithe in the storehouse, you'd open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing and rebuke the devourer for our sakes. You said that, and so I'll get it in my mind and I'll live it out in my life, and I won't let it depart from my mouth. The word tells us, and so we're going to stand upon that word, but folks, we got to know what it says. We've got to know what it says, so we take hold of that word and we begin to live it. God wants to perform and complete and carry out His word. Don't let it depart from your heart. Put it in your heart. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Let your faith increase as you begin to stand upon His word. Stop limiting the blessing of God by ignoring His word or neglecting His word or disobeying His word. Don't let it depart from your mouth or your heart or your mind or your life, but let God's word begin to govern and direct your actions and your entire life. Do you get what I'm telling you this morning? That it's about obedience. It's all of that put together. It's about obeying God's word and living God's word, knowing God's word, and begin to put it into action. Put it in, live it out in faith. Now here's the deal. You say, well, I'm not all that though. I mean, you're telling me I gotta, you know, that God's going to listen to me if I'm righteous, but I'm not very righteous. So what do I do about that? You want to come back and make music or something? If we wait, I think if Joshua had said, I tell you what, I'm just going to have to sit here a little while longer outside the walls until I can muster up enough faith, until I know that all the sin and compromise is out of my life, because that's a whole other sermon about Achan and the sin and stuff. But he's saying, I got some people that are a little rowdy, and I got some people that I don't think are living a life pleasing to God, so I can't start marching around the walls. And what I'm saying is, I don't think you wait until you get it all perfectly together. I'm saying we start today. I'm saying we start today saying, God, I repent of my sins. I want it out of my life. And then we begin to take this word and begin to apply it to our heart and our life and our mind and our spirit, and we put it in our mouth and we begin to say, Lord, this is what I believe. I may not be 100% yet, but Lord, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to march around those walls until they come down, and the strongholds of my life are going to be broken, and the blessings of God are going to come, and I won't live in compromise, and I won't live in sin, and I'll walk in holiness before you because your eyes are upon me today. And I'm going to believe it's going to happen. But folks, I'm saying it again. We need to get our heart and our mind and our words all in alignment with God's words. It's all broken up and segmented. And well, I live this way and I live this way and I do this. And I got church and I got my relationships and I got my job. And we've segmented it all. And folks, we've made a mess out of it. We've made a mess out of it. And God wants to bring our life all together, pull it all together, and then say, let's get it all straightened out. Let's get it all in harmony in our relationships, and let's get it all in harmony with how we live our lives. Let's live in obedience to God. There's obstacles in my life. There's compromise in places in my life that don't belong. And my choice is to begin to put that word in my mouth and in my mind and in my choices and march around the walls of my own Jericho and say, that wall comes down. That wall's coming down. And I'm going to march until it does. Now, part of what happens is, as I said, if we wait until wait until we get it all right. You just got to start walking. You got to start marching. You got to start living it. You got to start doing. Paula gets up every morning at 6 o'clock and she says, "You going to walk with me?" And I say, "No, not today." And someday, well, I'm probably not going to ever walk with her. But anyway. You can tell I should. But someday we just have to start. And what I'm saying to somebody today is, today needs to be that day. Don't wait till you got it all figured out. Don't wait till you've got it all. Well, I've got all the sin and all the compromise. It's all gone. I've got it all right. So now's the day I'm going to start. No, start today. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to live for Him. Start walking it. Start saying it. Start believing it. And you know what happens? Once you start and God begins to bless what you're doing, it gets easier, it gets better. You get stronger. You start feeling like, you know, I really miss walking. That's what I'm telling you. Obedience to God feels right. If you'll obey Him, if you'll start doing what's right, if you start walking around the walls, before you know it, you think, you know what, this is the right way to live. There's blessing that comes with this. I'm going to walk around the walls of this thing, and those walls are going to come down, and I'm going to be free, and God's going to change my life and change my circumstances. But you have to decide you're going to do it. You have to decide, and you need to decide today. Today's the day. Today's the day that we start walking around the walls. I'm coming up behind you. We start walking around the walls, and we see what happens. I believe it today. God spoke a word to us last Sunday morning, a prophetic word about a revival of our conscience. You remember those words? A revival of our conscience. I'm praying, God, revive my conscience, that I won't settle for anything anymore. I want to be a man of God that walks in that principle. I want the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and my mind and my spirit and the actions and the way I treat people and deal with people. I want all of that to be in line with the Word of God. I want to be the man He's called me to be. Folks, that's what He's calling us to today. It's obedience. I'm not telling you it's easy. It's not. You know, there's discipline. That's why He says, add to your knowledge goodness and discipline and self-control, all that stuff. Yeah, it's all there. But folks, I'm telling you, this is the right choice. This is the right choice. Somebody today, you need to surrender your whole life to God. Not part of it, not just the spiritual part of you. You need to surrender your whole life to God. Your relationships, your marriage, whatever. You need to get this right. You need to bring your life into alignment with the Word of God. This needs to happen today for you. It's important today. You're wasting time if you don't. Let this be that day of decision. It's obedience that's called for. It's the prompting of the Holy Spirit that you feel this morning. It's a new direction that's laid out before you. But it's so important that you follow that direction and leading and prompting of the Holy Spirit. This needs to be that day of new direction and new beginning for your life. It's the Spirit of God that calls you now. He bids you come to Him and live. For the choices that you're making apart from that obedient walk with God lead only to death and destruction, the corruption of the world that the Scripture speaks of. But a walk of obedience is a walk full of faith. A walk of obedience and a walk of faith is a life filled with the abundant blessings and enabling power of God and His Holy Spirit. And it is the Spirit of God that calls you to a new direction, to a new start today. Today. Lord, let it be. In Jesus' name. If you're here and this, let's stand together. If you're here and the Spirit of God is speaking to you that this needs to be that day of new direction, a new beginning for you, would you just slip out and come and stand here? Because I feel like we need to kind of seal this somehow in your heart and life and in mine. So I'm taking the step down here. I'm coming because I'm one that says this needs to be a new day and a new direction for me. Anybody else? I see somebody coming. Anybody else say, this needs to be a new day, a new beginning for me. This is a new day and a new beginning for me. A new direction that I'm saying I want my life I want my life to be pleasing to the Lord. You know, I got to tell you, I get tired of doing exactly what I'm talking about this morning, saying, well, you know what, let's pray. Let's ask God to heal you. And then, you know, you're doing all this stuff. And well, I'm stammering here because I'm trying not to say something bad. But I can, as I said before, I can blame everybody else. I can judge everybody else. But I have to look at my own life and say, okay, what am I missing out on? How is it I can tolerate things in my life that I'd tell somebody else, God can't bless you if that's in your life? And so I want a new direction and a new beginning. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's a few more that need to come. Come on, hurry. Somebody want to come stand with these, then that's fine. You can get lost in the shuffle and in the crowd. People think, oh, he just went forward to pray for that guy. And instead, you're really down there yourself. That's all right, too. It's deceptive, but it's giving in to our weakness. Come on. Come on. We just need to take the step. Sometimes you just have to get up and come on and say, all right, it's a new step for me. It's a new day for me. I know it's late. I know. But it's a new day, a new direction, a new beginning for somebody. That we're saying, I want this to be. Got a friend that says that all the time. I need to get that lined out. And that's what I'm saying to you. We need to get this lined out. We need to get this lined out. Step on up, guys. There's people coming down that aisle right there. There's a nice lady. We just want this surrendered to Him and obedient to Him. That's what He's calling us to. Would you pray with me this morning, even if you didn't come forward this morning, but there's something needs to get settled. There's a Jericho in your life you need to walk around in obedience today. You're getting your mind and your mouth on the same page, and we're saying yes. Stretch your hands toward these folk today. Father, in Jesus' name, we surrender our lives to You today. Because what we know, Lord, is that You're calling us to a new day, a new direction. The Holy Spirit prompted us, Lord. And so we're going to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and we say yes to You, to Your call, to Your plan, to Your purpose, that what we say, Lord, some of us just need to change what we say. Every word out of our mouth is negative and destructive instead of encouraging and inspiring and lifted up. We're going to lift up our words, Lord, to You today. We offer our mouth to You, and we're going to guard our words so that they're in line with the Word of God, what You say about us and what You call us to today. That this Word of the Lord, this Word will not depart from our mouth. That we're going to speak it and declare it. This is what God says about us. That healing is ours in the name of Jesus. That health is ours. And sickness won't come back in the name of Jesus. We're well and whole because the Spirit of God declares it to be. And will bring our life. We claim it for our family today in the name of Jesus. We claim life and health and blessing today. We say yes to the promise of God in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord. You hear us today. We want our life to be in step with Your Word. We surrender our life. We surrender our relationships. We surrender ourselves to You, Lord, that what we say and what we do, and what we believe, how we live, are going to line up with the Word of God, and we're going to please You, Lord. Oh, God, forgive us of compromise. Forgive us of ways, Lord, that we walked separate from You. Lord, unite our hearts to You today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we surrender to You today. We're going to obey You, Lord, and if we do, the blessings of God are ours. We claim it, but we're going to walk in obedience, Lord. We walk in obedience, but we start today till the walls come down. We declare it until the walls come down. We declare it until the walls come down. We'll walk in obedience until the walls come down, and what we say and what we do and how we live, Lord, it's going to be in obedience to You in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we'll not walk in compromise. We'll walk in obedience to You in the name of Jesus. Let it be for us today, Lord. It's Your Word to us, God, that we surrender it all. I want to be the real thing, Lord. I do, Lord. I want to be the real thing. Not just how I talk to other people, but it's how I talk to You, Lord. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are pleasing and acceptable to You, Lord. That I could let the whole church know the meditation of my heart and it would still be pleasing to you, and nobody would have to turn away in shame. Lord, let my heart be pure. Let my mind be pure. Let my actions be pleasing to you. Let me walk in obedience to you and in righteousness. Let me choose to serve you and live for you. Lord, that's my choice today. A new start. A new start right here where we are, Lord. On this day, 11/15/15, a new start, a new day to walk in obedience to you in Jesus' name. Let it be for us. Let it be for us. Hallelujah. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Lord, we give you a shout of praise like Joshua did in anticipation of the walls coming down. That we're starting around the walls today, Lord. And we're going to see victory. It's going to come to us. Because we're going to walk in obedience to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock and let's have communion and worship together. We'll see you then. It's going to be a great week. Walk in obedience. Live it for Him in Jesus' name. Amen.